Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 13 in Bill's story. We're going to read the first two paragraphs on that page, beginning with, at the hospital, I was separated, through two paragraphs, ending with, I have not had a drink since. And we're going to read and comment on both those paragraphs this morning. Today's readers are Luanne C. will be reading the text, L. will be reading page 164, and Shanna C. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Cheryl S., and announcements, Eileen M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, is 21,297, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,304 or 21304. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Candy P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And Candy, you need to hit star one to unmute.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You can. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Candy P. in New York. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for a opportunity to read the 12 steps, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Candy P. And I will now ask Jim C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Jim C. from Rochester, New York, Overeater, gratefully here to provide a little service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jim C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. But we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Bill's story. We're on page 13, and we're going to read two paragraphs. We're going to start at the top there where it says, at the hospital I was separated. Again, reading through two paragraphs and ending with, I have not had a drink since. We're going to read and comment on both paragraphs this morning. And I will now ask Luann C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, everyone. I'm Luann C. I'm recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho, and I'm just grateful to have this chance to participate this morning. At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. There, I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. I have not had a drink since. These two paragraphs just fill me with hope, like of the dawn in Bill's story. as a recovered person, I'm a little more than a year out. I'm hoping that was my last binge, and I work my program as if it was not. But on the morning I reached out to my higher power in the darkness for help, I followed his directions to go to the next Saturday meeting and ask for a recovered sponsor. I knew that most recovered sponsors required abstinence. I didn't know why that was important, but it didn't matter why at that point. I somehow cobbled together 4 days of abstinence and took a leap of faith. I've heard that faith isn't jumping from point A to point B. Faith is jumping from point A. And that's what it felt like. And it has made all the difference because working the steps abstinently gave me an experience I couldn't conceive in my half-abstinence working of the program. And if you're new, I hope you get to that point where you just hold your breath and leap, because you have nothing to lose but the misery, and we're here to help you when you land. And anyway, I'm just grateful to have a chance to be of service, and I thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Luann C., for getting us started. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others may share their experiences too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes. We got lots of people on the meeting, and that will allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And I'm going to get the first lineup. If you can please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Diana Y.
L.
Ross
G. I heard Diana, and then I heard three people mumbled after.
Kara L.
I've got you, Kara.
Roz G.
I got you, Roz G. And Diana, did I hear that right? Was there a Diana first?
Yes, Diana Y. from Philadelphia.
Thank you so much.
Donna B.
All right, Donna, I've got you.
Cheryl S.
I've got you, Cheryl S. Was that S or F? I've got you, Elaine.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle, gotcha, Annabelle Z. Okay. Well, we've got quite a lineup going, so I'm going to pause there. I've got Diana Y., Kara L., Roz G., Donna B., Cheryl S., Elaine B., and Annabelle Z. Please let us know where you're calling from, and we're going to start with Diana Y., followed by Kara L.
Hi, everyone. I'm Diana Y. from Philadelphia. I'm so grateful to be able to share on this meeting. I was separated from sugar for the last time 9 years ago. Even though I've been in program for 44 years, for 32 years I tried to do it myself. I couldn't imagine. I'm a total sugar addict. And I couldn't imagine not eating sugar every day in my life, because that's what I did. I binged every night with all my favorite sugar items. And I didn't believe in a God, but I stuck around this program because I knew that this was the answer for me. Nothing else worked. Nothing else was going to work. And I was told that the big book says that if we don't have a higher power, there really is no way for us to get this program. And I studied the big book. I really got into it. I love what Bill Wilson went through and the suggestions of the big book of how to live a happy life. And I can do that today. Sometimes it's hard, but I know I love sponsoring, and that helps me go over the big book over and over and over, because I sponsor through the big book. And reading the words, I don't mind going over the big book again 28 times. That's where the answers are for me. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Diana Y. from Philadelphia. Next up, Kara L., followed by Rod G.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. What a paragraph, right? A couple of paragraphs. And for me, you know, yes, I did rest, and there were still some things until this last let go about 5 years ago where I was just like, all right, higher power, whatever. And I knew the things I needed to let go of in that moment. And I did, but I didn't do it alone. I had help from my higher power, because I was finally ready to place myself unreservedly. And I don't think I look at that word unreservedly. You know, I don't think I ever did that before. I always had conditions, or I always had things that I thought I needed, or, you know, I just put restrictions on it. And I pictured myself sitting there and just in that moment going, all right, I give up. I don't know any better. I need your help, however it looks. And that's when the help came. You know, the second part is like, I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I have not had drinks since. That's working the steps. You know, in that moment, that step three moment when I went, okay, for everything, I will ask your opinion and your thoughts. What am I eating? What am I wearing? What lipstick? What shoes? How do I, you know, please give me words for this conversation. Anything that there's a decision. I ask for intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision, right? And then I continued on and I worked the steps, because I had to clear the roadblocks that kept me from my higher power. And today I just do that over and over again, you know, and hopefully I can say, you know, decades from now, I've not had a compulsive bite since, that I passed. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Kara L. Next up, Roz G., followed by Donna B.
Hi, my name's Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. I'm in the county of Los Angeles, recovered. Thank you, God. And thank you for your service. I am nothing without God. And these 12 steps have taught me how to live a and teaching, not taught me, and teaching me how to live a life that's dependent on God. There is no happier way to live than to place my life and myself unreservedly under His care. When I try to control things, or if I think that God hasn't answered my prayers the way I want Him to, and when I focus on what I want rather than what God wants for me, I am going to be depressed, and I am going to look to food to relieve that. When I do that, it sucks. And so every day I have to humbly offer myself to God. As I understand God, my third step prayer says, thank you, God, you are a light, a shiner of light. You are a matchmaker. You are a coach. You are kind. You are loving. And I was in a big book workshop where it was pointed out to me on page 868, where it says, we are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us, and humbly rely on Him to see enable us to match calamity with serenity. When I ask God, what is my role here? What do you want me to do? I have the best time. whatever situation I'm in, whether it's in a meeting, whether it's with my family, whether it's at work, whether I'm just at home, when I say, God, what's my role here? What do you want me to do? I have serenity. I don't have calamity. And yes, sometimes I have calamity. I was administering a test yesterday to the students. I didn't know what I was doing. I said, God, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing here. And God opened it up and everything went just fine. So I thank you for being here this morning. And I thank this big book for teaching me how to have such a close relationship with the God of my understanding. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Next up, Donna B., followed by Cheryl S.
Good morning. This is Donna. Can you hear me?
Definitely. We can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry. So I'm Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, in Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. And I'm so grateful to be on the phone live this morning. I think for me, I of course had the experience of taking step three when working through the steps, which I've done so on numerous occasions. And I make that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And then the big book tells me to launch rigorously into the fourth step. And I can say that my innate tendency, I'm comfortable with the part about launching into action. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Let's go. That's where the doing and the doing and the doing and the doing is my, it's just how I operate. Those were my factory settings. But the thing about sincerely turning my will and my life over to the care of God, admitting over and over and over again that of myself I'm nothing, and that without God or a higher power I'm lost, that's a sitting, that's a quiet, that's an experiencing, that's a being, that's an experiencing that are not my factory settings, that are not where I naturally go to. And it is often when I find myself in that place of feeling like everything is falling apart that I am reminded of the opportunity to unreservedly, without any reservation, to make that decision yet again and yet again and yet again. So although, as the big book says, that decision can be a powerful one. For me, it's a decision that I have to make on a daily basis, at the least. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Dana B. from Colorado. And if you're just joining us, let me let you know, fill you in on where we're at. We're in Bill's story, page 13, we read the top two paragraphs, beginning with, at the hospital, I was separated, and finishing up with, I had not had a drink since. And so now we're going to go to Cheryl S., followed by Elaine B.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is Cheryl S. as in Sam in Nevada, gratefully recovered today. And boy, there's just so many ways to go with this paragraph are these two paragraphs. So a couple of things. I went back and just kind of scanned the story up until now. And I think from very early on, Bill knew he was a drunk. He knew he had a problem. So he had basically step one down pretty quickly. And then he tried a number of times to stop on his own. And then I believe that this is the fourth time he was hospitalized. So, you know, what's the difference between all those times before and this time right here? And he says, and in these two paragraphs, Bill does step 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And that's a lot. And he does it quickly, which I think is important to note, too, that it can be done very quickly. So what is really the secret, the key? And I believe it's the beginning of that first sentence in the second paragraph. There, I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him to do with me as he would. And I know a lot of people come in with different ideas about this. They either don't think they believe in a higher power, they don't want to believe in a higher power, they don't know how to believe in a higher power, they're afraid that they're never going to get it. And they know that they have to get it, and if they don't get it, they're in trouble. They think even if they do believe in a higher power, that higher power doesn't want to help them. But I think what Bill says right here, and he said it before too, you just have to make a beginning. You know, that understanding of a higher power can start out to be just a mustard seed, and it will grow into whatever it grows into. For a lot of people, it grows into God. For other people, it grows into something different, creator of the universe, power, whatever. It doesn't matter. But what matters is that we place ourselves unreservedly in its care and direction. And I had a situation the other day. So I have a leak in it's somewhere in our master bathroom, and it's leaking out into our garage. And we're trying to find it. And so we are tearing this bathroom apart. And my poor husband is so upset about it, you know, and depressed, and, you know, because the money and the time and the mess and the, you know, just a total uprooting of our life is to have our bathroom. He got up in the middle of the night the other night and went into the bathroom that didn't have a floor anymore because he was half asleep.
Cheryl, you know, that's fine.
Thank you. I just close with saying I couldn't muster up those negative feelings because I believe that God will take care of it. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Next up, we've got Elaine B. followed by Annabelle Z.
Thank you so much for your service, Stephanie. Okay, so I have a mark in my big book here that this was on December 1934 at the town's hospital after his friend Ebby appeared to him, you know, recovered and began to share his experience, strength, and hope. So at the hospital, he was separated from alcohol. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. And, you know, sometimes we need something to really help with the separation from our alcoholic foods and food behaviors. It was very important to my sponsor that I not rely on her for this, but that I see a nutritionist. And I was able to do that, as well as identifying the foods and the behaviors that really were danger zones for me, you know, and did learn the red light, absolutely no way. The yellow light, I'm really not sure if these are okay or these behaviors or foods are okay or not. And then the green light foods. And during working through the steps, no yellow light foods, no experimentation, no guessing. And I needed all those kind of treatments, but also that nutritional proof food plan to help me get that 100 pounds of weight off of my body. And at that place, at that time, I was really able to admit I got one, I got two, now I got to take step three. And that I was able to humbly offer myself to God. I did have a God of my understanding, but clearly I needed to supersize that relationship. And but I didn't know how that was going to happen. I didn't know what that was going to do. But there was a willingness to turn that power over, to turn myself unreservedly, You know, I'm not going to hold on to the food. I'm not going to hold on to, I'm just going to go through this process to the best as I can and put myself in your care and direction. And, you know, at that time, I did it, but I didn't realize that this is something that continues for a lifetime. New situation, new battle, whatever, you know, new challenge, unreservedly in your care. I trust you, God. I'm going to follow your good, orderly direction. Because without God, I proved time and time again, I was lost. I was lost in the food. I was lost in my thinking. I was lost in my sins. And I didn't even know things, you know, layer upon layer, just go deeper and deeper of, wow, you know, I've been doing that for a decade after recovery. And this is not good behavior. This is something that my newfound friend, as we continue our relationship, now you're ready. Now you're ready to stop thinking about people as your solution. You stop thinking about, you know, whatever, thinking of yourself more highly than you ought or anything like that, that this God, this power greater than myself, wants to help me not only with my food, but with every relationship, every situation, every project, every detail of my life, as I continue to invite God in and unreservedly seek his direction and observe the care and the direction that I get, because I can get lost really easy. I'm so glad we have GPSs on our phones, but now I realize I've become so reliant on that. What if the GPS was down and I couldn't find my way? You know, oh, I got to find a map. How do I navigate that? And so I want to be as reliant on God as I am on my GPS to get me where I need to go and to take that time to pause and ask and stop if I don't know the next right thought, I don't know the next right action, and to know that this is a growing relationship, and growing relationships require investment, just like gardens do this time of year. We get to grow and show up beautiful things in whole new ways. And thank you for the opportunity to share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. And next up, Annabelle Z.
Good morning. This is Annabelle Z in Washington State, a recovered compulsive reader, and I am so grateful we're on this paragraph. I don't know how I can follow everyone's shares because I've just heard so many amazing things and just so much recovery. But there's one thing, I'm kind of a wordy person and I love looking at words in the big book. And this word ruthlessly kind of always catches my eye here because I still had to look up again today, like, what does that mean? And it means without pity or compassion, cruel, merciless, like without any kind of mercy or pity. And man, does self-pity keep me in the negative thinking and the negative, immature, like no ability to deal with my emotions or life. And so he faces his sins, the things we do wrong, without any basically self-pity, right? He's not going to be, it says we don't do it like without compassion, but that's not really how he's using the word ruthlessly. It just means like, you know, not thinking about it, like, let's just, you know, not poor me. And it reminds me of so often if I'm doing a 10 step or a 4 step, in fact, just the other day with my sponsor talking about, you know, this is what happened and trying to do a 10 step or sharing. And like, she immediately stopped me. It's just like really focused my mind on that. I was thinking about myself, like still thinking about myself and poor me and self-pity kind of stuff. And I just have to face these things I do wrong and the steps I take and instead just completely think about what God would have me do, not be judgmental of what anybody else did. I like that somebody else brought up too, that this is steps 3, 4, 6, and 7. Step 5 is in the next one where he acquaints himself with the problem, that he acquainted Abby with his problems. But right here, it's like he just dealt with it and was like, I'm ready to have God remove this. Like it just, he did it on his own. It's a miracle. Like how did he know to do this? Right. And he asked God to take him away root and branch. Like I'm thinking of, that's the entire thing. That's even the roots are what the tree gets nutrition from. And I'm thinking even stripping out the roots, You mean I can't even go back to the past and say, you know, like live in a fear because of what happened in the past? No, it's a whole new life. It's a whole new experience. This paragraph makes me think of the set-aside prayer too, where I'm having a whole new experience now with the steps. I wanted to rush through the steps like it's important to do the first time so that we don't binge again. We don't, you know, get back into our food behaviors again. But going back through the steps again now, having done this many times, I was telling my sponsor the other day, I want to get to the third step. I want to get to the fourth step. And she brought it to my attention that, like, this is where I need to be. And I was just not willing to go through it at the pace that God and she would have me have it, that this is the way it's supposed to be. I'm like, oh, that's good. I just be with where I'm supposed to be. And so that's what showed up in my two-way prayer this morning, is to just be where I'm at. So thanks, everybody, for your amazing shares, and I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Annabelle Z from Washington State. And now we're going to take another lineup. And we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Monday or Tuesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the chance to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes. I will remind you with the timer when your timer is up. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Nancy L. in Arizona.
I've got you, Nancy.
Nancy
Sherry
R.
And
Sherry
and
Andy,
New Hampshire.
R.
Ann B. New Hampshire.
I've got Ann B.
Sherry H.M. Washington.
I've got you, Sherry H.M. And I think, let's see, timing-wise, 369. We'll probably hold there unless there was someone else who wanted to try and get in on the end of this one. Did I catch everyone? Okay. So I've got Nancy L., Nancy R., Ann B., Sherry H., M. Please let us know where you're calling from, and we'll start with Nancy L., followed by Nancy R.
Well, good morning. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. I think one of my most favorite sentences in the big book is, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. I love those words, last time. And I myself have been separated from something about started 4 days ago, and I believe it was for the last time. And that is, I'm living in a healthy body. My doctor says my heart loves my weight. I've been abstinent a long time, but I've been cheating. I've been saying, well, it's just a little more vegetables. It's just a little more, a little slice. It's just an extra ounce of fruit. It's no big deal. And I got convicted over that last week. Like, you know, you're just on a slippery slope, Nancy, and you need to really straighten up here. And I'm redoing the steps. I'm on step three, and I believe with all my heart that my higher power, with my cooperation, 100% honesty, will stay honest and not make little excuses for this and excuses for that, because I know it is very, 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 very dangerous. So I'm grateful to say that I have been separated from the dishonesty in my food for the last time, I pray and I hope. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. And we've got our next Nancy, Nancy R. Please let us know where you're calling from, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I just unmuted. I trust you hear me. I'm Nancy R. in New York, Eastern Time. Nancy R., compulsive overeater. I'm always overwhelmed in the best way with the gorgeous shares that are teaching me, and I just deeply love the big book and this extraordinary amount of steps that he takes. It's just beautiful. Humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him. I love the capital H for his care, all the ways that I was nothing without him, another capital H, all the ways that Bill W. expresses about the power, and newfound friend. I did 2 10-steps yesterday, and the person said to me, the kind fellow said to me, do you feel better? And I said, a little. She said, act as if the defects have been removed. Act as if that God, trust that God has removed. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm trying. And that's what I'm, especially after listening today again, and other OA mentors, that's what I'm doing. I'm acting as if. And I live with a serious health condition after diagnosed 16 years ago. And now I'm dealing with some other very serious decisions, concerns about other decisions, more decisions connected to my health. And I have been disturbed, frightened, worried. But today, listening to everybody has been greatly helpful, because it is under his care and direction that I will not be lost, that I will face everything and put myself under God's care, and with the help of doctors, and all will work out. And so I am grateful to be abstinent. I'm grateful to be separated from sugar, my alcoholic foods. I have to be very aware of my look-alike foods. And incredibly grateful to be a sponsor, learning so much, looking forward to the next sponsee. To sponsor through the Big Book is wonderful, and it is an honor to have sponsees who teach me what I need to learn. I kept hearing that about everyone who mentioned that comment, and I now am looking forward and experiencing it. And to hear Bill W. talk about these, all the steps that were taken so quickly, so extraordinarily, from a man who did not have the desire to offer himself to God the way he did that day.
Nancy, that's time.
I thank you for your service, and thank you for your kindness. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy R. from New York. Next up, Ann B., followed by Sherry H.M.
Hey, this is Ann B., normally in New York, but right now I'm in northern New Hampshire. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like that word, recovered, but I have been abstinent for 19 years. And you know, I've read a little bit of some of Bill's other writings about what happened to him in that hospital. And in fact, he had a dramatic spiritual experience with some mild hallucinations. And I too was struck abstinent in a dramatic spiritual experience praying in my kitchen. And I wouldn't exactly say that I had hallucinations exactly, but I did have, you know, have impressions of God speaking to me, and impressions of the Spirit of God moving through my body from head to toe, and seeing sort of dim visions of people watching their children starve to death in third world countries while I was abusing food and eating more than my fair share of the world's food, based on victimhood and self-pity. And I got a clear feeling, although I had always been a spiritual and religious person, that God really cared about me eating more than my right share of the world's food. And I got a clear impression from God about that. And I've had a number of sort of mystical type experiences and program that have made me feel that this is really where I belong. God wants me here. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed when I've heard stories of relapse, you know, that people have a much harder time coming back, and I think than they did the first time. And I think it's, you know, I know if I were to leave, it would be as if I were inoculated against program. The next time it might be harder to get my abstinence. Some people never get it a second time. And so I am trying to hold on to it. But, you know, one of the things that I do notice, like page 263 of the big book, where they talk about what the original alcoholics did for steps 1 through 8, they did work steps 1 through 8 in 4 hours. And so I feel like that's something we've lost today. And but I do have to remember that and I'm very grateful for all of the messages, that everything comes from the spiritual experience here. And my sitting here and worrying, and, you know, I have other self-medicating behaviors that I've developed, like on the internet and this fantasy.
And that's your time?
Okay, thanks. I'll just finish. So I need to remember that higher power is a solution to all of that. So I will pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. from New Hampshire. And Sherry H.M., you're our next share.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, and I'm from Washington State, recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict. I love all this. This whole page, he goes through every step except, I don't think steps 12 is on here, but it's basically his rendition of all the steps. Just want to remind people, don't give up. When I was first in program, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, that'll never be me. I could never, ever live without my sugar, is what I was thinking, especially besides some other foods. But sugar was, you know, my best friend, so to speak. And I'd always thought that my higher power was God, but really, where would I always turn to when I had emotional buildup? Actually, I would stuff my face with sugar. And then, of course, go into shame right after that and just, you know, go back into that elevator shaft and falling through into the shame and just oh, drowning in shame because I can't believe I did this again. What's going on? What's with me? So anyway, it does work. It really, really does. And so there was one time, I was probably about 2 years or so into program, and a terrible tragedy happened in my life. And I had PTSD for about a month or two and had some real good treatment for that. But anyway, I opened up the refrigerator and God just said, Sherry, there's nothing in this refrigerator that can take away your pain. And I shut that door, and I remembered my program is about the buildup of emotions. It's about I have to get rid of the rids, restless, irritable, and discontent. If I go into self-pity, which I can do, you know, in like a nanosecond, then I have to take care of that. I have to reach out to God. I have to focus on service, and I have to do a 10th step and, you know, pick up the phone, the heaviest object in the universe. And it's just it's just wonderful. So I'm just so grateful. And, you know, I know I can't, but God can, and I'm going to let him, and I'm going to just keep working the steps, because my old foods, which, by the way, I do not miss at all. It's an absolute miracle that I can, you know, go. I don't even think about sweets anymore. Such an
Sherry,
absolute
that's
miracle.
Time.
Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington State. And we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tara L., can you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Page 164. Flipping in my book, sorry. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.